Good morning, everyone. Come on in. We're going to get started today. I've got to pull up my notes, get my screens set up. We had a small household emergency this morning, very small, but still, I couldn't get into my office for a minute because when a household emergency happens, what do you got to do? Got to take care of some business. That is the truth. All right. I just want to make sure I have the notes up because today we're going to be talking about are your 1% level ups good enough? And I want to first of all congratulate I don't know, I'm getting all kinds of weird Zoom screen reminders. All the people that a few weeks ago I was on a call and I did an impromptu challenge about the thought not it's not good enough. And I said, I challenge anyone, prove me wrong. Like you do 30 days of every single day posting what you're going to do today that's not good enough. And then you tell me at the end of 30 days what ends up happening. Very often, what we do is we think something's not going to be good enough. So then we don't do it. And we're never getting any evidence created by ourselves that we can change. We're never getting any evidence that anything's going to work because we're not doing anything to elicit change. So I challenged people to, for 30 days, to use the thought, it's not good enough in a new way, rather than hearing it and being like, yeah, guess I'm not doing that. I don't feel motivated, you know, blah, blah, blah. Instead of believing it like a sucker, then you do the opposite. You use it as a trigger now. Like anything that I think is not good enough, logically, I'm probably wrong. Even if in the moment I can't turn my logic brain on and tell myself why it's good enough or anything, that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that in this moment, from now on, for like the next 30 days, whatever time frame you want, you tell yourself, you know what? I am just going to do whatever I think is not good enough, and I'm going to test the theory. Because this is at the end of the day when it comes to not being good enough. When your brain thinks something isn't good enough, isn't going to work, isn't going to add up or whatever, you now just have a like a hypothesis. Like if we're going to go old school stuff, now your brain has just offered you like this is one outcome. It might not be good enough. And y'all just go straight down the road with it. Instead of being an adult, if your 14-year-old came up to you and said, if I study every day this semester, I'm probably still going to make a D or a C. Me studying every day won't be good enough. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to study it all. And then I'm going to see at the end what happens. You would like die. You'd be like, oh no, that's not true. We're going to study anyway. Like, I want you to think about what you would do if someone came up to you and said that. If you're a boss and your employee came up to you and said, well, every day, you know, I want to work on this very important project you gave me that you said would get me a raise, it would make more money for the company. It's super important. But you know, every day I can only do this part of the project. I can only do these things. I just don't think that's good enough. So I'll tell you what, I just won't work on it at all. Is that okay? And that's what we do with ourselves every fucking day. You make it okay to have a thought like it's not good enough and run with it. Instead of saying, like deciding in this moment right now that whenever I have the thought it's not good enough, I'm sitting here thinking about it ahead of time. I know that thought's coming and it's probably going to come. Here's where it's not good enough loves to come out. It's not going to come out on easy shit. Like on the most simplest of things that you could do, it's going to come out when you're trying to do something that you don't believe you can do. So, like, you'll think, well, I just can't lose weight. It's really hard for me. You know, I've regained some weight. I've been here a while. And then you're gonna like, you know, today I can start with my water. Your brain's like, that is not good enough. Like, you really should be doing all these other things. And it throws all that out there as like smoke and mirrors to get you to not do one simple thing. And here's the deal. To lose weight, guess what has to happen? Fucking water. Water has to happen. But your brain will act like it's not good enough. And it's only doing that because you're thinking about something you're afraid you can't do. Now, if you were sitting by the pool and it was motherfucking hot, let's pretend it's my birthday. We are all at the pool in Vegas on July 12th. Probably about 110 degrees. And if somebody was walking around with water and you'd been sitting there for 2 hours sweating your tits off and they offered you some, you probably wouldn't go like, well, that's not good enough. I guess I just need to sit here and keep sweating because unless you can bring me, you know, flavored water from the Alps of, you know, the French or France and blah, 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 then I can't drink it. You wouldn't do that. And that's why we have to be so mindful about it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Like, if you would drink water on a hot day, I fucking guarantee without drama and thinking it's not good enough because you're hot, then water is probably good enough to drink on a day when you're just trying to get your shit together so you can lose some weight. And so we have to make a conscious decision, like while you're listening to this, this is your conscious decision moment. This is where we're like thinking about weight loss. We're learning about weight loss. We are talking and discussing. We're digging around in our heads and whatnot. So this is the conscious part. So when you're in the conscious part, you have to make agreements with yourself. And I think one of the biggest agreements that everyone has to make is if my brain is likely to tell me that things I do to lose weight aren't good enough, the first thing I want to do is make an agreement that from now on, I do them anyway. That is now my trigger to do. It's not my trigger to hide. No more. And that's enough to feel motivated. Like, you ain't got to believe you can lose weight and stuff, but you do have to believe that every time you think something's not good enough, it is the signal to do it anyway, to just try it, to assume you're wrong until you prove otherwise. That's it. You don't have to sit there and think I can lose weight. You don't have to believe in the full journey. Don't do any of that stuff. But you damn well sure got to do that. And that's why today we're talking about 1% level ups being good enough. Are they good enough? So the first thing that happens when we're thinking about this is we think our level ups aren't good enough. And so we stay stuck doing nothing. This is why it's so important to listen. You have to ask yourself why, like, you can ask yourself two different ways. So for all my journalers who want to take this work deeper, or if you want to just kind of answer the question in your head right now, the first thing we want to do is we want to think like, why do I think this isn't good enough? Because usually uncovering, like, just keep digging around. Why? What you're going to find out is it's really not that the action is not good enough. It's that thought is hiding a fear. Like, it's not good enough because I've never been able to lose weight. It's not good enough because for me, weight loss is just harder than it is for everyone else. So now we're going to find like the real fears. So that way, we're going to move through life knowing we're going to think things aren't good enough. And we're going to realize it's not that the things aren't good enough. It's really code for I don't think I'm good enough. So therefore, I don't do. I stay stuck. So, what we do for all of you, This is really simple. Whatever you find underneath there, you take it to Ask Coaches. I beg you to let them help you through what we call our, like what our belief systems are. Belief systems are those things that we unconsciously feel like they're just true. Like so many of you have never been able to lose weight before. And you think it's just true that you've never been able to lose weight. Like you'd be like, that's just a fact. Like, let me tell you the 32 diets that I've done and how I regained all of my weight. And the problem is that you've talked so much about being a failure at weight loss that now you believe it and then everything feels very true to you. We have to start wiggling out of that because I will tell you what's equally as true. Your future's not written yet. What happens in the future is never decided on the past, ever. The future is always decided by what you choose to do today. It does not matter what you did yesterday. It does not matter what happened 10 years ago. Doesn't even matter what happened 10 minutes ago. Like there is a fork in the road at every turn. So the future is always written day by day. And in weight loss, your future weight loss is literally written meal by meal. It is not, it has nothing to do with past diets. Now, what is also true is that you could be thinking, I have failed in the past. That's why I'm learning a new way to lose weight. I'm learning how to let go of the past as part of my belief system. That's also could be true. So we have to really think about what's underneath it. Because the thing is you don't have to get rid of those belief systems. Because a lot of you are like, I'll never lose weight until all my belief systems are gone and I 100% believe that I can do it. No. No. Belief systems don't have to go away. Belief systems can't be left unchallenged. That's the truth. Belief systems have to have an equally as true story told alongside with them every single day, as many times as you can. We have to get better and better at listening for our negative self-talk and applying different talk alongside with it. And we carry that through the rest of our life. This is not I'm going to do this for a couple of weeks and get exhausted with trying to change my mindset and then just be like, well, that didn't work. See, I knew I couldn't lose weight. See, I knew I couldn't change. I just feel so bad. You only feel really bad when you're not working actively to feel better. And we do not have to feel immensely better. So this morning, I'm just really going off script today, y'all. I apologize to Yasmin, who gives me notes ahead of time. We talk about this shit a month in advance. And here I am just going off script. But I got to say this. Somebody in the Facebook today posted, I was replying to her this morning, and she went on some trip, had a picture made with her family, and she was really sad because she was saying, it's so unfortunate. Let me just see if I can find this post. It was really good. I'm going to see if anybody replied. Crap. Usually it's easier for me to, I don't know if I'll be able to find it. Nobody's replied to it yet. But anyway, usually I get a reply and then I can, no, that's not it. Okay. Here's what happened. She goes on a trip with her family. She looks at the picture and she just says something about how it's really unfortunate that life's good moments can't be like, they're so overshadowed by how she feels about herself. And then she ended it with, and the journey is so long, like LONNNNNNNNG. And so I just replied and I just said, you know, I have a question for you. And this is an interesting, all of you answer this, just think about this. For all of you who are afraid the journey's long, it feels like it's far off. It almost feels hopeless. It feels burdensome. So just be thinking about how you feel about losing all of your weight. So often what we do is we get caught up in thinking about, we're not going to feel better until we lose all of our weight. And when we think the journey's going to be so long, it's really code for I'm going to be miserable until I hit my goal weight. And then when I hit my goal weight, it's all of a sudden, like, I guess the world's supposed to change on a dime. The heavens open, gold coins rain from the sky, and a unicorn comes, sweeps you off your feet and takes you to work. So when you're thinking that, I want all of you to answer this question. How many pounds do you need to lose before you feel a little bit better? So how many pounds is it that you want to lose that you think, once I lose this amount of weight, I bet I'll think, okay, I'm doing it. Things are start like I'm thinking things are clicking now. This is better. Like, I'm not looking for you to feel amazing. Like, we're not looking for the everybody restart, because a lot of you, 75 pounds before I feel better. Like, here's another question. If Corinne waved a magic wand today and everybody got to lose 10 pounds, just 10, with the sign of an emoji, how many of you would give me back the 10 pounds because it's not good enough? So one person, I've got some O faces and laughing, but I had one person, two now. We have now officially had two people say, like, you know what? If all I'm going to get is 10 pounds, then that's not good enough. I want to give you back the 10 and do it on my own. I don't want any freebies, because I wouldn't feel good about that. Most people would say, like, I'll take that 10 pounds, and that would feel good. And I would be like, all right. Like, I got a head, like a lot of you would be like, and I got a head. Thank you, Corinne. You gave me a head start. Just notice. And a lot of you are like, if I got the 10, I would feel some momentum. I feel like this is a good deal. This is the thing I want all of you to realize. When you think it's going to take so long to feel better, it's not. It's going to take a few pounds, and then you're going to be like, okay, I can breathe a little easier. Things must be working. I can breathe a little easier. I must be on the right track. You can breathe a little sigh of relief, like, okay, maybe this isn't as scary as I thought. I want y'all to think about that. If you will start allowing yourself to stop thinking about how long things are going to take, that this won't be good enough, and you start thinking about it's not that many pounds until, like, it's not that much work to start feeling just a little bit better. Because I'm a big believer in, if you're really scared about weight loss and you're really not feeling good, we can work on our mind, but sometimes the best gift we give ourselves is just doing shit, like put up and shut up. Do some of the level ups we've been talking about this month. Try the stuff you're afraid won't work. Give it an honest shot. Use it's not going to be good enough as a trigger. If for some of you, do less than you think is perfect or right, just to see what will happen. For others, you might be like, today's the day I'm fired up. Then match your fired up level. I am a big believer in our energy levels change. Some days you wake up and you're just like, fucking A, I'm going for it. Like you might even wake up and be like, I have an ass full of myself. It's my gung-ho day. There is nothing wrong with a gung-ho day. Give it gung-ho. If that's 100%, you can do all the things. Let's get after it. Then if in 3 days after being gung-ho, you're not feeling like it, rather than being like, oh, fuck. If I can't do it all, now I'll just do nothing. You need to figure, like, if you feel only 30% good, like you want to do things, then do 30% at 100%. Like, figure out what is it that I can do today and then give that your all. Because if all you have in the tank is 30% and you go and you complete it, you just gave 100%. You're just matching your mental and emotional energy for each and every day. That's weight loss. Weight loss is not a string of perfect events. Weight loss is your ability to keep going when the shit's not perfect, to not give up, to do what you can do, to, you know, fuck lunch up and say like, you know what, just because I fucked up lunch doesn't mean I have to eat my way through the afternoon. If I overate at lunch, I don't need a snack in the afternoon, even if I'm bored. That's one way to help myself. I may or may not be hungry for dinner, and that's okay. If I am hungry, I will eat and I will stop it enough. I do not need to dwell that I screwed up lunch. Just don't need to. I may be dwelling. It may be in my head, but I have to remind myself that's one side of the story. One side of the story is I fucked lunch up. The other side of the story is dinner's coming and I can take care of myself in the best way possible. What is that going to look like? That is the other side of the story. Because I guarantee you, someone who loses all of their weight, they overeat at times. But the difference between someone who ends up losing their weight and someone who doesn't is eventually the person who loses all their weight really realizes that overeats are not an excuse to quit. Overeats are not an excuse to blow out another meal. Overeats are not an excuse to beat themselves up. Overeats are something that happens. We can learn from them. We can move on from them. We can not beat ourselves up over them. We can figure out strategies. We can ask for help over them. There's so many things that we can do with an overeat outside of catastrophizing and quitting. You have like thousands of options ahead of you on how to deal with overeats. Stop picking the one option. Catastrophize and quit. Catastrophize and quit. So when you're thinking about your level ups, you can ask, why is this not good enough? You can also ask yourself why this is good enough. This is in your journaling. So what I would do is if you can do that work in lifetime, so let's say you're thinking something's not going to be good enough. I've gotten really good at being able to do this internally in lifetime. So like yesterday's a good example. Lord, I had a full day of meetings. It was quarterly review time. So everybody that reports to me got a review. I had other meetings, all the things. I'm already working on our September camp content. I was working on that and I had to go work out and it was 3:45 in the afternoon. Corinne is a wilted fucking flower in the afternoons. But I did not have time to work out first thing in the morning. And I knew I wanted to go to the rec center. I had a big, heavy leg day in front of me. I, Marco Polo Jane, on the way, bitching and moaning the entire fucking time. And I sat in my car before I went in. And I was like, you feel so bad. I don't even know why you're bothering. You won't even be able to do a good enough workout. And I just sat there and I was like, look, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do a leg day. And I'm literally going to take it set by set. We're just going to have to see each set how we feel. If you're not feeling it, you just lower the weight because that's where your body's at today. Like for me, I could lifetime do that. I could reason with myself what I needed to do to keep going, to stay in motion, to not freak myself out and make myself think that the only, like, I will tell you, lifting weights is such a great way for anyone to learn how to manage their mind. Because every weightlifting session is different. I have a set routine that I do, and like this leg routine, I do it week after week after week. And every week is always different in terms of my mood, my strength. Like sometimes I'm emotionally struggling and I'm having to really talk myself through, like, come on, you do not, like, you are not going to shit out on this last set. Like, my leg days, my first exercise, the neutral foot placement leg press, for anyone who's wondering, is 6 fucking sets from 8 to 12 reps. It is so long and it's so heavy. And I almost always get to set 5 and say, you could just skip the last set. You did so good. Like, even my voice is even kind of sexy sometimes. Sometimes the voice that's telling us it's not good enough, it's not even a fucking asshole. Mine switches. Sometimes it's a butt, and sometimes she's super sexy. She's like, oh my God, you lifted so heavy. Like, you really killed it on set 5. You might as well just, like, get up and go that next exercise. And I almost say to myself, like, look, if we've come this far, I think we can do one more. As I'm moving through, there are weeks where it is set after set talking to myself. Some weeks I am just like, I'm feeling good. My hormones are in the right place. All things are clicking. I got a good night's sleep. I got all my work done for the day. Like, I'm excited to go to the gym. On those days, I kill it. Then I have some weeks where I want to kill it. And I'll look back after I'm done working out and I was lifting less weight. Not as much as last week. Now, can y'all imagine if we all went through life and we thought that every single time we lifted weights, it's supposed to be heavier and better than the last week. Otherwise, we're just not making progress. That's how y'all address weight loss. It's like every single week, the scale should go down and I should be better than last week. Otherwise, I'm failing. No, that is just not how life is set up. Life is set up like this. You go week to week and you figure shit out. As long as you're always trying to move forward in some form or fashion, you're making progress. Sometimes progress has nothing to do with being stronger than the week before. Just like yesterday, I had one exercise that I lifted heavier than the week before. And then the rest of them, I was pretty much exactly the same. And a couple of them, I went down in weight. So all I could do. But I gave my 100%. In my mind, I'm not writing that as a failure workout. Just like for a lot of you, when you weigh in on the scale and you think, oh my God, I only lost 0.2 pounds this week. Or, you know, this week I didn't lose anything. Or I'm up a pound this week. And you look back at your week and you actually see, I did a lot of right things. The saddest thing I see women do in weight loss is throw away all the good work that they're doing because they don't get their way. You hang everything on one thing, what that scale's going to say. So when we're talking about, like, not being good enough and all this and level ups and stuff, one thing y'all can do is level up your attitude about you. Next month, we're going to do a lot of, like, the whole month is about how do we level up our thinking. But I want y'all to start thinking about that. We talked a little bit about it last week. How can I level up my attitude about what I'm seeing in my life that I'm improving? What can I do to level up some of my self-talk? Where am I being a little extra critical? Where are areas where I'm just not even acknowledging myself? Like, I may not even be beating myself up, But I would not raise my hand to say, like, hey, I'm a celebrator. Everyone should model after me. I'm always looking for how I did things right. So I want you to be thinking about when you are doing the conscious work like we're doing right now, it's where you start, you look for your common patterns of where do I think things aren't good enough? And let me start challenging that. Why do I think it's not good enough? Is it really because like this thing actually isn't going to be good enough? Or am I just wrong about that? Like if I did this thing over and over again, and that became a habit, and then I layered in other things, would that be good enough now? That thing, it's a piece of the puzzle. That's another thing that a lot of you probably could like get behind in your thought is like, rather than that's not good enough, this thing is one piece of the puzzle. So I'm like, I want you to think about when you, if you were to build a puzzle, you wouldn't just look at it and be like, oh, well, shit, we can't do this. I mean, I don't know how to put all these pieces together right now. Like all the pieces have to come together today in this moment or we can't do it. Weight loss is a big ass puzzle piece. And there are like 1,000 pieces to your puzzle. And you're going to be putting them in one by one, piece after piece, looking for the next one, seeing if these fit together. And as you do that, you start telling yourself, like, it's not that the drinking water or getting my sleep or making my plan or eating one vegetable a week, whatever it is, it's not that it's not good enough. It's that it's one piece of the puzzle. Am I willing to put a puzzle piece down or sit back and not put my puzzle together at all? And then you also can ask yourself why it is good enough. The other thing that we can do is stop having like this relationship with not good enough is like, I just can't shake it. Like, but I keep thinking it. That is the biggest hoser thought any of y'all have is, but I keep thinking it. Who the fuck cares? I don't. Like, I am so bored with it. I'm telling, this is the truth. I am just literally bored with it. I've never met a successful person who sits around motivated all day long. I was talking to my own coach the other day, and I just said, I'm so fucking ready to spend the second half of my life differently. Like, I cannot wait for 50. Because when I turned 50, she told me this interesting story. She just turned 60 this year. So we're like 10 years apart. And I said, you know, I've just really been thinking about the second half of my life. And I don't want it to be like the first half. If I had 2 wishes that could come true, it's that I would never, like if I could wipe my brain like a dry erase, I'd never think poorly about my body, and I would never worry about money ever again. I've gotten over fear of food. I have proof in my life that I just don't fear food anymore. I feel like I have dominion over it. I finally have like flipped the switch to like, I know how to eat. I know how to stop. Like, I really do believe that. But man, body and money, I have spent my entire life so worried about my body, judging her and nitpicking her and trying to change her, just doing all the things, and not from love. I don't care that we want to change our body. I still want to change my body, but I want to go into my 50s trying to change my body because I feel powerful, because I want to be strong as fuck as long as I can, because I'm up for the challenge, because I enjoy lifting weights, Not because I can't stand it. Not because it feels disgusting. I don't want that anymore. And the same thing with fearing money. And she looked at me and she said, "You're so in touch with what you want. And you know the fears you don't want anymore." And she said, "I really think you're going to wake up on your 50th birthday and you're going to say, 'I'm done with this.'" And she said, "I just want you to be thinking about that from now until you turn 50, that you're going to wake up and you're going to say, 'I'm done with this.'" And I will tell all of you, I know that when I turn 50, that what's not going to happen is my thoughts are going to suddenly go away. What's going to happen is when I turn 50, I'm going to spend all this time training myself that I am done thinking like this. I am done believing this. So then I wake up on my 50th birthday that anytime those thoughts come in, I will be well trained to say, "I am done thinking like that." Until it goes away. Until it's like it is with food. I really don't think that hard about food anymore. Every now and then, like, I'll have like a thought like, "Ooh, I probably shouldn't be eating that," or whatever. And it's so easy to just say like, "Well, do you want to eat it or not? Like, if you're thinking you shouldn't, is there a good reason?" Like, it's so easy for me to just like be like, "Huh, maybe that's my internal compass sending up a warning sign that I'm fixing to emotionally eat." It is so lighthearted. It is so compassionate. It is so just like, "Oh, if I'm thinking that, there might be just a good reason behind it." And that is like the thing I want all of you to be thinking about. It doesn't matter that you keep thinking certain things. The only thing that matters is when you think those things, who are you going to be? It doesn't matter that you keep thinking this isn't good enough. It only matters that when you think it, that you're willing to take action anyway. That you tell yourself every day, "I am done believing that anytime I want to do anything positive for myself, that somehow that's not good enough." And I will tell all of you, it is very easy for women to do that. I want you to just think about men for a second. And you know me, I love men. I do love men. Like, my two favorite humans in the whole world happen to be of the male kind, my son and my husband. But I, you know, often think about, like, when Chris is making small changes, he never thinks this is not good enough. He is in love with incremental change. When he talks about the concept, he talks about how beautiful it is. Like, in his mind, small changes, like, this is beautiful for these reasons why. We learn so much through the small changes. I wouldn't want to miss that part. Like, it's crazy. But for women, we've always had like a different standard set for us. We're supposed to be perfect to be loved. We're supposed to give, give, give in order to be a good person. I mean, it's everywhere. And when you've been around that all your life, and that's how everybody else operates, it is no wonder why we think this won't be good enough. But here's what I know. We have to start challenging that for ourselves. Society is going to be real slow to change. Most of us are not going to live long enough to reap the benefit of society's narrative around women being completely different. So if we're not going to be able to change the big narrative fast, we have the one that we can control is our own. You have to start telling yourself what's good enough now. You have to be the one willing to redefine and redecide all of that. We're going to be doing a lot of that work at Body Image Camp. And we're also going to be doing very similar work at Become the Queen of Your Own Damn Life Camp. Both camps, I think the concept of good enough is so pervasive that it requires us to talk about it as often as we possibly can. Because you have to be willing to define, what does good enough look like in my life? And it's not going to be the same every single day. Just like today, my legs are very sore from yesterday's workout. I'm also just coming off of ovulation. I've also been working a lot. And I've not been sleeping very good for the last couple days. I just got hot. It's the weather here. It's like it goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. And Chris always forgets the kind of sleeper I am. So he'll set the temperature of our room to a certain thing. And then he forgets to change it when we have a sudden 30 degrees shift in our weather. And so for 2 days, I've just been burning up fucking hot. So I'm not sleeping good. And so this morning I was getting work done before I had to come on here. And I was I've got 17, 18 minutes. I'm just going to go out and take a 20 minute walk. I'm just going to go turn around at 10 minutes and get back. And that's what I did. And it would be really easy for me to think that's not good enough. Or it would be easy to also think I'm just using the time that I have. I promise y'all, I will not be going to the gym today. I can just tell I don't feel good. I'm just tired. Am I supposed to work out today? Yeah. Am I going to? No. Am I going to beat myself up? No. Here's what I am going to tell myself. Today's not the day to work out. Do some walks. Get some sunshine. That's going to be better for you. You are a lifelong exerciser. Lifelong exercisers don't work out every day. I have to tell myself that stuff. Otherwise, if I'm not on purpose telling myself the story I want to believe, guess what my brain does? It tells a default story that I've told in the past. It's not good enough if you don't go. I mean, you said you would. It wants to tell that story. So one other tip before we get out of here that I will give all of you is that if you will give yourself a narrative first when you're making decisions, you don't always trigger the default narrative to come up. Sometimes that's what we need to do. You have to tell the story you want to tell first. Instead of just this is what I'm going to do. Oh no, my brain thinks these things. It's like, then tell it what you want it to think. You have that agency. All right, let me go through a couple of questions and then we'll get out of here. Oh, I need to check one thing before I answer the questions. Trying to make sure I don't mess up the next call. Okay, all right, MJ does that call. I'm in my third month. I'm dealing with a lot of life challenges. My accountability group has fizzled out. Two of the three have canceled, and I'm feeling very upset, depressed, and ready to cancel as well. I'm just not doing the program. First of all, Anonymous, why the fuck would you let people who decided to give up on themselves influence you? That is exactly what's happening right now. I have decided that because these people couldn't do it, that must, now that is my trigger. You have to decide what it is you want to do for yourself. If your account, all of you, you have two choices. If your accountability group fizzles out, you can sit there and make that about you, about this is a challenge. This is why I can't lose weight. This is blah, blah, blah. They are in control of me. Or you could say this, I'm going to sign up for another accountability group. And I will sign up for an accountability group until I find my fucking partners. The ones who will challenge me, the ones who will stick around, the ones who are in this like I am. You get to decide that narrative. You're acting as if what's happening in life controls how you feel. What happens in life can't control how you feel until you give it power. If you don't want life's challenges to stand in the way of weight loss, you tell yourself this: I don't give a fuck what life throws at me. I am done eating over it. I don't give a fuck what life throws at me. I can go meal by meal. I can still get an accountability group. If you're on this call, like, I can still listen to a call. What life's throwing at me will help me lose weight. And here's how. Because I'm going to learn how to get through life's challenges without a fucking Twinkie in my mouth. That's how I'm going to start getting through life's challenges, so that life's challenges don't feel so big. Because every time you eat over a life challenge, guess what you're not doing? Fucking figuring out your challenges. Looking at where you have some kind of control. Almost every single thing that life throws at you, all of you have control over some of the outcome, even if it's 10%. But what we do is we use it as an excuse to feel out of control, instead of using it as an excuse to figure out what parts of this are in my control. Your fork and how many times it goes to your mouth will be in your control. You deciding to push play on our quick hits every day, instead of having your head go straight to the deuter with all your other bullshit thoughts, allowing yourself to pump your head with positivity, that's in your control. Quick hits are like 10 minutes or less. If y'all are sitting around thinking you ain't got time, if you ain't got 10 minutes, like, here's the people that shouldn't have 10 minutes a day to listen to something with one earbud in. If you are sitting bedside with someone in hospice who's dying, I will give you a pass. Short of that, so many of you are sitting around thinking you can't lose weight, thinking this is too hard, spending an exorbitant amount of time in that space and wasting the time that you do have. If you have to drive to the hospice facility, put a fucking quick hit in. And y'all probably think I'm being cold, but let me tell you, when my grandmother was dying and I was spending the night on the floor for months on end, cleaning up shit and vomit because she had pancreatic cancer, I did not eat through that. I had Chris drop me off every night after I put my baby to bed, after spending the day taking care of a toddler and trying to, like, just stay sane, to sleep on a floor and take care of someone I loved. And then I ran home in the mornings. Wasn't safe to run at night, but I could run home in the mornings. That was the only way I could get exercise in during that 6 months. We all have choices. And this was before we had, like, lots of podcasts and stuff, but I never went to my grandmother's house without a book. I packed an igloo with frozen dinners so I wouldn't starve or eat junk. Because you know how it is. People be bringing the junk when you got sick people. I just had to make some choices. And you know what it was because? Because I wasn't sitting there thinking the entire time, my granny's dying, that means I can't lose weight. I did not commingle the two. I was fucking sad that my grandmother was dying. I was wore out and exhausted from taking care of her, but I did not make that mean anything about gaining weight. I used it as an opportunity to tell myself, you know what? We're going to survive this. We're going to do what we can to keep our weight off. I was sitting there thinking about that while also grieving, while also tired, while also feeling stretched and pulled, feeling like I was failing my child, feeling like I was failing everybody. But I remembered that has nothing to do with losing weight. Nothing. There were still things I could control. And that's the thing. I had to sit there and tell myself, here's what I can control. I could not sit around and just think like, oh my gosh, everything's out of my control. I had to be like, no, ma'am. The same thing happened when Logan was still diagnosed with autism. I could just sit there and feel sorry for myself, or I could be scared as fuck and do things, try anything to help my child, and realize this is autism. This is not an excuse to get like gain my weight back. The last thing I need to do is eat over my son's autism, because there will never be one thing I'll put in my mouth that'll save my baby. There's nothing I'll ever eat that will bring my grandmother back. And we have to make those choices, y'all. So for you, Anonymous, go get you another accountability group. Stop making excuses. That is something you can do. I guarantee you. And it will take you 5 minutes to submit the form, and Dina will have you hooked up. That's an easy fix. And then the rest of it is like, I'm feeling very upset. Why? Take it to Ask Coaches. Why am I so upset? What is canceling going to do for me? I will tell you what canceling does for all of you. You have a few moments of relief. That's why a lot of people like to cancel, because they want relief from this thought: I'll never be able to do it. So we think the answer to not believing that we can do it and feeling bad is to cancel, because for a moment we get relief. It is just like going and eating something. Quitting always feels good for a little bit. But the problem is you didn't solve the problem. If the problem is, I don't think I can do it, I probably won't be able to lose weight, I've never been able to lose weight, quitting doesn't change those thoughts at all. Quitting takes away the triggers that are causing those thoughts, which is listening to these calls makes you think like, oh, I really should try that. Knowing the four basics, like, oh, I really should be doing my four basics. Quitting absolves you from having to think about those things. But then we go to the other side. After a little bit, what happens? We get a glimpse in the mirror and we're like, I'm just so big. Why can't you get your shit together? The relief we got from hitting the cancel button is now gone. Because now we're not getting triggered by no BS. And no BS is trying to trigger you to do positive things for yourself. Now you're getting triggered by your life. And it's just bringing up the next avalanche of thoughts that had you feeling just as bad as you did right before you quit. Because you didn't solve for anything. You didn't change how you think about yourself. Those thoughts just come back. That's why so many people end up coming back. And then sometimes it's like their next attempt is the one where they lose the weight. Because you realize quitting is a Band-Aid on a like gashed femoral artery. It's not helpful. So for anybody that's like indulging in this idea that they want to quit, I suggest you do one thing first. Once the relief from quitting is gone, what is then going to bother me? Because something's always going to bother you. It's probably going to be whatever the fuck it was before you left. And if you don't fix that, quitting doesn't fix it either. Only you taking shit to Ask Coaches fixes that shit and learning how to think differently. I skipped the gym today because of my period and settled on a walk instead. Should I have went to the gym anyway with less intensity, or is a walk okay? I think a walk's okay. That's what I do. There's really no right or wrong on that one. If you skip the gym because you're on your period, you go for a walk, you just tell yourself, good, I went for a walk. I did something positive for myself. If you think you can go to the gym, sometimes you may want to go to the gym and do a lesser workout. Either one's fine. You just want to make it's not really which one's right. It's which one of these feels pretty aligned with the person I want to be. That's how I always look at it. Just like today, like I really do have a workout on like on tap and stuff, but I do not feel like I could give a really good workout today. I feel like walking is about as all I've got in me. And I'm like, good. That's like, I'm listening to me. I'm thinking it through. I'm being intentional. That's who I want to be ultimately as a person, as an exerciser, as a maintainer for my health. Like intention is always the thing that I think is the most important. So like if you're thinking it through and you're reasoning with yourself, you're like, I'm making an intentional choice. And an intentional choice is always better than just default automatic choices. Because most of our default and automatic choices, unless you look at your default choices are like, you know, my default choice is to brush my teeth every morning. Well, good. I don't need to be sitting there and being intentional about it. If my default choice is every time I don't feel like it, is to just go like, fuck it, I'm not. Then I need to become more intentional. I need to ask better questions. I need to really work on like intentionality. So we want to make sure that we're not just going with our default programming all the time. Because default programming will always, it's called the motivational triad. You inside your head, your brain is wired to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and take the easy way. That's the way it's wired. So that's the default mechanism. It's like, is it pleasurable? Is it easy? Does it avoid pain? Eventually, you can have really good habits move into the motivational triad. Like for me, kind of exercises like that. Like I already know how to do my exercises, so it's easy for me to go to the gym and do them. Now, I do push and challenge myself, but I already know how to lift weights. I've done it for a long time. Like I understand it. So it's a simple process. I do get pleasure out of it. I have done it for so many years now that even when I don't want to in the moment because something else seems better, my brain knows that it is pleasurable at the end. I end up liking the way I look. I'm going to tell y'all right now, one of the most pleasurable things I ever do in my life is sit and lift such heavy weights that the guys around me at times aren't lifting as heavy as Corinne. Like when I watch a guy lifting with less weight than me, like I can't tell you the immense pride that comes over me. And every now and then, like this was yesterday, like I'm doing the leg press and the guy before me was getting off. I was waiting. And I do, it's a level machine. And so I start on a level 12. He was on level 12 doing his sets. And so he wiped the machine down. He's like, oh, let me like, what level do you want it on? And I said, well, what level are you on? And he said 12. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's where I start. I cannot tell you like on the inside, Corinne was just like, cause I was like, Your four sets is what I call my appetizer warm-up, bro. So there you go. But like, I've had so much pleasure in that. And now I know that if I don't go to the gym, I'm going to have more pain than if I go. So like avoiding, like for me, it's avoiding the pain of having to reschedule, make time for it later. In my mind, not going has more pain associated with it than going. So over time, my motivational triad has shifted. And that's what I want for all of you. That's what happened with planning. And that's what happens for a lot of you with planning. Like at first, it's like, oh God, this thing sucks. No pleasure. It looks really hard. It's going to be painful. I don't know how to do it right yet. So it's not easy. So we have a lot of resistance to doing it. Then you get to doing it and you start realizing like, oh my gosh, this, like my family loves planning now because like everybody's like, oh, we don't have to have a 4-hour debate every night over where we're going to eat, what we're going to eat. It makes your life so much simpler. Like there's all these things and you get into the habit of doing it. Suddenly it's easy. You figured out how to do it. There's pleasure in it. It's like your time. Eventually it flips. And that's what I want for y'all. All right. I got to get out of here because Coach MJ has to start another call. And I don't think we can have two going at the same time. Y'all have an amazing, amazing week. I will not see you this weekend. I'm actually off this weekend. I'm working on a special project for all of you. So you will have Coach MJ on Sunday, but I will be back next Wednesday with all of you. Bye, y'all.